Barney. That was the name of the first dog that I remember as a kid. And like, in many ways, I suppose you could say Barney was also my first love. Like most farm dogs, he was big. He was a mutt. He outweighed me. So all he had to do was bump into me, and I'd be over in a flash. But every morning when Dad would load up the milk cans into the back of the pickup truck, the red Ford pickup, and head off to the cheese factory, Barney would follow. He'd take off right after him. But he'd always beat him there because he'd cut across the fields. He knew the shortcuts, you know. And then eventually both Dad and Barney would come home. And I don't remember the details, all the details of that day, but I do remember this much. I remember the day he didn't come back. And I remember for the first time in my life feeling what I would later come to know as grief. I remember like it happened yesterday, sitting on the hay wagon with my mom, both of us crying and her arm around me telling me he was dead and no, she couldn't make it better. And she just held me. And I guess that was enough. Because there in the embrace of my mom, I also had my very first theology lesson. And I certainly couldn't articulate it at that age and have trouble still trying to today, but I began to realize that God was not in our life to prevent grief, but to sit with us in our grief. Slowly but surely, I've come to believe that God is not here to keep us from death or endings or failures out of my life, or even to rescue us out of the grief that accompanies those endings and those failures and that and deaths. Though once in a while, I do still find myself praying for that. But what God can do is better than that, more than that. God redeems it. He transforms it. He changes it into something of which I honestly don't have a name for, but I know that in that transformation, in that change, that I come to know God more. I come to know God's glory. The grief of Martha and Mary and Jesus himself, it's palpable in the gospel today. We've all been there. Tears, disappointment, questioning, hurting beyond words, when loved ones have died, but also when love has died in our lives. We've known the darkness of grief when dreams are shattered, when we lose that all-important game, when we don't get the job we know we deserved, when we didn't get into the college we'd hoped for, when mistakes are made, things are said, or maybe things are left unsaid, and friendships are broken. We know the grief that accompanies the loss of innocence in a child and the grief that comes with getting older. We know the tears and the questions and the anger that unfold or that come when things don't unfold the way we had planned them or hoped they would unfold. We've seen our faith challenged and our spirits bruised. We've all been there. And maybe we're there right now. But it was never the intention of God to rescue us from that grief, at least as far as we have come to know God. God came not to rescue us, but to redeem us. And there's a difference. Because a rescue only lasts until next time. It makes things all right for a while, maybe. But redemption is forever. Redemption transforms us. It changes us deeply inside and brings us to a deeper level of faith. God is not indifferent to our suffering. On the contrary, God enters that suffering and he redeems it. And then redemption can unite us. And redemption sets us free. And redemption makes love possible again. Redemption promises a life better than the one we were convinced couldn't get any better. Redemption doesn't take us back to the way it was. It takes us forward to what can be. Redemption gives hope. Like Martha and Mary, we beg Jesus to come to us in our moments of grief, in our losses, whatever they are, wherever they are, whenever they are, and just to hold us, like a mother holds a sad little 4-year-old boy and helps him to turn 5.